Hello, hello, am I on? Check, 1, 2, all right. Opportunity to transition here. Praise the Lord. All right. How's everybody doing this morning?
Good.
So good to see everybody here in church. Praise the Lord. Let's do this before we get started. Let's just take a moment and acknowledge Him, acknowledge His presence in this room. Hallelujah. Father, we thank You so much that You have come here today. Glory to God that we have come here to meet You, rather. Hallelujah. Father, we thank You so much for Your Holy Spirit that's present to reveal things to us by Your Word. God, I thank You so much for every individual in this place. God, we just thank You that we receive from You today. Whatever You would speak to us, Father, I thank You that we get exactly what we came in here to receive. And Father, we bring our supply, not that we're just consumers, but we bring our supply into the house and that the whole house is filled with Your presence. Glory to God. So Father, we honor You. We glorify You, and we recognize You first and foremost in this place this morning in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. All right, if you've got your Bibles, I want to encourage you to turn to the book of Psalms. Go to Psalm 103. Amen. Psalm 103, very famous psalm, passage of Scripture. Everybody, I'm sure, can recite at least part of it. Amen. Psalm 103, and we're going to start with verse number 1. Hallelujah. If I can get my pages to not stick together, praise God. All right. Now, everybody, let's say verses 1 and 2 together. Can we do that? See it on the screen. Praise the Lord. All right. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Now, this psalm, most scholars believe that this psalm was written later in David's life, and this is a reflection that he is having of the Lord's goodness. Amen. So we're looking at this in 2026, and we can do the same thing. Amen. Reflect on all God has done for us. Reflect on His goodness. You know, we can spend our entire lives trying to explain God, trying to figure out a good way to explain who God is and what God is. Men have written more books about God and about the Bible than any other topic in human history. If you go to the Library of Congress, there are over 50 million manuscripts about God and the Bible. There are hundreds and thousands of books, praise God, about this topic. And we try to describe God with words like good, right? And don't misunderstand me. I'm not taking away from that or belittling that whatsoever, because we want people to know the good news about a good God. Amen? But here's the problem that we face. All we can do is shrink God down until He fits inside of our vocabulary, right? That's the best that we can do. We say things like, God is amazing, and then we'll go out to dinner and we'll describe our dinner the same way, right? Our God is an awesome God. Did you catch the game last night? It was awesome, right? So we have this problem of having to shrink our description of God down to fit inside of our vocabulary. Amen? And our experience becomes the measuring stick for His character. If He answered one prayer, He's good. If He healed one disease, He's good. If He forgave one sin, He's good. Amen? But the Bible says that there is no end to His goodness. His goodness cannot be exhausted. You haven't even reached the edge of God's goodness. Amen? You've barely even stepped into it. If you think God is good, let me tell you this morning that He is infinitely better. He's infinitely better. So let's read this again. Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Hallelujah. Amen. See, David is not reminding God of His goodness. What's he doing? He's reminding himself. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Amen. Sometimes you need to preach to yourself. Right? Sometimes you need to preach to yourself and remind yourself, because too often we forget all He has done for us when trials and circumstances and situations arrive in our lives. How quickly we forget. Your emotions cause you to forget. Your flesh causes you to forget. Your disappointment causes you to forget. Your expectations for how you thought something should go. Right? We've all been there. But David says, soul, don't forget. Because forgetfulness, guys, is fertile ground for unbelief. Forget not all His benefits. And David begins to list these benefits, right? But here is what is often forgotten when talking about the benefits or the blessing. The goodness of God is not merely that He blesses. And He does. Amen? It's that He Himself is the blessing. Throughout Scripture, God's promise was never provision or healing or victory only. It was, I will be with you. That is the foundation of His goodness. It's not that He blesses. It's not that He provides. It's not that He heals. It's not that we overcome. It's not all of the... The foundation of His goodness is that He is present. He is with us. Amen? And all of those other things are a bonus. They're the blessing. They're the benefit of a God who is present. Amen? Let's look back at verse 3. Who forgives all your iniquities. David puts forgiveness first. He points this fact out first. Why? Because every other blessing flows from reconciliation. Every other blessing from God is tied to reconciliation, the forgiveness of our sins, of our iniquity. The greatest miracle isn't healing. The greatest miracle isn't provision. The greatest miracle isn't revival, right? We're all jumping up and down and screaming about revival, but that's not even the greatest blessing, right? The greatest miracle is that a holy God welcomes sinful people. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God didn't become good because you repented. Amen? He was already good while you were rebelling. Come on, somebody. His goodness is what led you to repentance. Right? In Romans 2:4, we read, "Or do you despise the riches of His goodness, forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance?" It's His goodness. And His goodness did not require anything from you before you came to Him. Amen? Didn't require anything from you. He simply said, "Come." Amen? You didn't have to clean yourself up before you came to God. But His goodness, that's what brought you in. That's what led you to that place of repentance. Let's look the next portion here of verse 3. "Who heals all your diseases." Now, if you've been in this church for any time at all, you've heard message after message about healing and how it's His will to heal. Amen? So, this is not a healing message. I'm not going to spend a lot of time here. Praise God. But I did want to reference and touch on some things. In Exodus 15:26, God says, "I am the Lord who heals you." In Isaiah 53, verse 5, He says, "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed." And then in Acts 10:38, it says, "Jesus went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil." So we know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that God is a healer. Amen? And He came not only to heal you and restore you from your sin, but to heal your physical body, yes, to heal your mind. Amen? Go to verse 4. "Who redeems your life from destruction." Some translations say from the pit. Yeah, yeah. Right? "Redeems your life from the pit." What David means by the pit here is a place of destruction, a place of deep despair and suffering. And I'm sure that we have all experienced a pit in our lives. Right? We've all been in a pit. No matter what that looks like, what that may be, it's different for everybody, whether that be moments of depression or confusion or addiction. Some of the lowest depths of human experience. That's what He's talking about. And redeem, we understand, means to buy back. Right? To redeem is to buy back. How familiar are you guys with the concept of kinsman redeemer? You heard that before, read that before? Historically, this was a close relative who could step in and buy back or rescue a family member from a debt or slavery or something like that. And we don't have time to look at this or go there today, but probably the best example or the most famous example of this is the story of Ruth and Boaz. So if you have opportunity, go read that story after the fact, right? Because that gives you a good picture of this concept, what we're talking about, of the kinsman redeemer. According to Old Testament law, a person had to meet three criteria to qualify to be a redeemer. Number one, they had to have the right to redeem. This had to be a male relative. A stranger couldn't step in and do this and take this place. Number two, they had to have the ability to redeem. They must possess the resources to fully pay the debt. And number three, the choice to redeem. They couldn't be forced to do this. They had to willingly choose to accept the burden of the debt. So what does this mean to us? This is a foreshadowing pointing straight to Jesus. Because all of humanity is spiritually bankrupt. and fallen into slavery of sin. So Jesus himself steps in as our kinsman redeemer. And Jesus meets all the requirements. He meets all the requirements. Through his incarnation in the flesh, he became our brother, giving him the right to redeem. Thank you, Lord. Jesus was rich in righteousness because he had no sin, giving him the ability to redeem, not with money, but with his own life. And he made the choice to redeem us. He willingly laid down his life for us on the cross. So Jesus meets all the requirements. Hallelujah. He has the ability. He has the right. And he made the choice. Verse 4, part B, I guess you could say, says, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. What I think is so incredible about this is that he says he's redeemed you from the lowest possible place, from the pit. And then immediately, the very next part is he crowns you. So he takes you from the lowest possible place and immediately elevates you to a place of royalty and puts a crown on your head. He crowns you with his steadfast love and tender mercies, his loving kindness. The word crowns here in Hebrew is the word atar, which means to completely surround, to encircle, and to overwhelm you with favor and protection. He's crowned you this morning with his favor and his protection. His loving kindness or his steadfast love is the word hesed. Hesed, which is God's covenantal love. It's his commitment to you. If you sign a contract, how many of you ever signed a contract in here? If you sign a contract, you're saying, if you do your part, I'll do my part. But if you break your word, then the agreement is null and void. Right? Those are the terms of a contract. You do your part, I'll do my part. But if you don't hold up your end, the agreement's off. Right? But covenant is unconditional. His covenant with us says, I am committed to you and I will fulfill my promise even if you don't fulfill yours. I am eternally committed to you. Amen? That's his covenantal love. That is hesed. You're crowned with his love and his protection and his favor. It completely surrounds you. It overwhelms you. Glory to God. Let's look at verse 5. Who satisfies your mouth with good things. Satisfies your mouth with good things. Now, this is more than just having your immediate needs met, right? This is more than just food and water and shelter and clothing and those things, right? Which are all good, which are all necessary, amen? But this goes beyond that. This isn't just like when you're hungry and you get enough to eat so you feel full, right? There's a difference between being satiated and being satisfied. Amen? The word satisfied is saba in Hebrew, meaning completely settled, enriched, and content. He satisfies See, it carries with it this implication of a permanent end to lack and emptiness. Have you ever been satisfied? See, that satisfaction only comes from Him. Every human heart is hungry. Amen? Every human heart. I'm not talking about your belly, right? Every human heart is hungry. It's thirsty. And every earthly well will eventually run dry. Amen? Whatever you're pulling from to try and satisfy you, it will run out. It will run dry. It will not do the job. But Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 35, "He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." He is the only one who can satisfy. I heard a pastor once say, "Only infinite goodness can satisfy infinite longing." Only infinite goodness can satisfy infinite longing. And then it says, "So that your youth is renewed like the eagles." Hallelujah. We just read all of these things, right? "Forget not his benefits, forgives your iniquities, heals your diseases, redeems your life from destruction, crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, satisfy your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." Amen? Guys, his goodness has no end. It has no end. Psalm 34:8 says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." Amen? Taste and see that the Lord is good. All we can do is begin to taste the goodness of God. Did you catch that? You will never consume all of His goodness. You merely get a taste. This is just a taste. Amen? Living life with God is just a taste of His goodness and mercy. It's just a taste of His loving kindness. We're merely getting a glimpse this morning of everything that He has prepared for us. See, we simply begin to enjoy all of His benefits because God is likened unto an ocean and you're holding a bucket. Amen? God is an ocean and you're holding a bucket and you can fill your bucket every single day for eternity and not lower the ocean one inch. Whew. Ephesians 3:18 and 19. Let's turn there. And Matthew, I'm sorry, I meant to send you all of my scriptures this morning, and I completely forgot. I have them in a note on my phone, and you don't have them. So I made your life harder than it has to be, but praise God. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 18. Hallelujah. Paul prays here that believers may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the goodness of God. So he prays that we would know the width, the length, the depth, the height of Christ's love. And then he immediately says that it surpasses knowledge. Do you hear the paradox there? That you would know the love of Christ, which you can never know. You can never fully understand. You can never completely comprehend. Oh, that you would know the width, the length, the breadth, the height, the depth, all the things. And man, you can never know. It surpasses all knowledge to know what cannot be fully known. Why is that? Because every new revelation leads to another. Every encounter uncovers another dimension. Every trial introduces you to another aspect of His faithfulness. Every morning reveals fresh mercy. Church, you never graduate from discovering God. You never grow out of discovering about Him. You think He's forgiving? He's better. You think He's patient? He's better. You think He's loving? He's better. You think He's merciful? He's better. You think He's faithful? He's better. You think you've experienced His goodness? He's better. Every word falls short. Every description falls short. Every sermon falls short. Every song that we sing falls short, because finite words cannot fully explain an infinite God. You remember your bucket? Right? You've got a bucket. Imagine trying to explain the ocean after only seeing a bucket of water. That's what every sermon about God is. And it's not to say that we shouldn't still do it. That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm not saying that we shouldn't still sing the songs. I'm not saying that we shouldn't still write the books. I'm not saying that we shouldn't still preach the sermons. But it's a bucket trying to describe the ocean. That's all it is. And even still, He's greater. Even still, He's better. You want to know how good God is? Look at the cross. The cross answers every accusation against God. Because He didn't just tell us that He loved us. He demonstrated it. He didn't just promise His mercy. He literally bled His mercy. Amen? He didn't just speak about grace. He embodied grace. The cross declares forever that God is better than we could ever ask or think or imagine Him to be. David began this passage in Psalm 103. He began by saying, "Forget not all His benefits." And we've merely listed a few. Amen? But after walking through them, after walking through these benefits, you realize something. That the benefits are wonderful. Amen? The benefits are, I'm so glad I'm redeemed. I'm so glad I'm rescued. I'm so glad I'm healed. I'm so glad that I've been crowned with His favor and protection. I'm so glad of all of these things. But the benefits are not the destination. And we can never forget this, that the benefits that we receive are not the destination. They point us to the benefactor. His benefits are always pointing us back to Him. So if we worship the benefits, we're missing Him. Amen? The benefits always point to Him. The greatest blessing is that because of Jesus, we get direct access to God Himself. Amen? And if you think you know how good He is, wait until tomorrow. If you think you know how good He is, wait until the next season. Because His mercies will be new. You'll discover another side of Him, another facet to His faithfulness. Wait until eternity. You'll be discovering a new side of His glory every single day. A billion years into heaven, guys, nobody's going to be up there and say, well, I've seen all there is to see.
Amen.
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 Instead, every single moment in God's presence will reveal another reason to worship Him. Our God is not merely good. He's infinitely better. Amen? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we love You so much. We give You honor and glory this morning. We lift up our eyes and lift up our voices in adoration to You. Honoring You, the giver of the gift. We thank You for all Your benefits. We remind ourselves, just like David did, soul, don't forget. Don't forget everything that He's done for you. Everything that He's brought you out of. Everything that He's brought you to. We're not going to let forgetfulness be the breeding ground for unbelief. But we're going to remember. Because gratitude remembers. Thankfulness remembers. So we remember this morning everything that You've done for us. Everything that You're doing right now. And everything that You've yet to do. Because we know that You get better and better and better and better and better the more that we discover You, the more that we learn about You, the more that we understand Your will and Your ways. You're better than we could ever imagine. You're better. Than words can describe. And we will spend eternity professing Your goodness, Your mercy, Your love, Your faithfulness, Your grace to us. And we'll never run out. We'll never get enough. We'll never exhaust it. Because we are a drop in the ocean of Your goodness.
So bless the Lord. Oh, my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. If there's anybody here this morning that is unaware of His benefits, unaware of His goodness, today you can become acquainted with the God we're talking about. Today you can accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you can reap all the benefits just by saying yes to Him. All who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So this morning, if you've never called on that name, Jesus, would you lift your hand? There's nobody looking around. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, we don't want to miss an opportunity, because He is infinitely better than the alternative. I see no hands. Praise God. That means that we are all family in here. We are all born again, redeemed, saved. Hallelujah. We're all going to heaven. Amen. Amen. Church, I love you so much. Always grateful for the opportunity to minister. And I'm just so thankful this morning as we're reading this to be reminded that He's not only good, He's better. Amen. Hallelujah. Pastor Mark. Well, praise the Lord. We love you. Keep Pastor John in your prayers. He's doing good, but praise God. I don't know if he's home yet, if they've been discharged, but praise the Lord. He's all good. Amen. We love you. You are dismissed. Stay and greet one another and love on each other in fellowship. Amen.